This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. This is the final episode of 2018. Hard to believe that. I want to sincerely thank every single one of you who tuned in this year because you are a big part of Primal Potential. You are a big part of spreading this message that we can all engage every day in creating a happier life and a healthier life. I am honored to be a part of your journey and so excited that you are a part of mine, my journey to be a happier, healthier version of myself and my journey in building Primal Potential. Thank you for being part of it. And today I want to share with you my year-end review process. I'm going to be sharing with you the questions I'm asking myself, some of the answers personally and professionally. I'll also put a summary of a lot of these questions over on the show notes page, and you can find that at primalpotential.com/549. Before we dive into my year-end review, how I kick it off, what it looks like, what I'm thinking about as I go into the new year, some of you have reached out to me wanting a better idea of what the 12 weeks to transformation is, or maybe a better way to say that is like a sneak peek. And there are a ton of elements within the 12 weeks to transformation. Here on the podcast, we focus a lot on information and strategy. The 12 weeks to transformation is not about information at all. It is about creating transformation, not learning to create transformation, but getting off the sidelines, getting into the game. And there are a lot of different tools that I share to help you do that. Weekly challenges, a guided daily journal, live weekly Q&As with me to talk about whatever you're struggling with or what's on your mind or any questions that you have. And then there's a private Facebook group, but there's also these daily coaching audio messages. So short daily messages intended to kind of keep bringing you back to what you want, what you're trying to do, how you can capitalize on it today, instead of just letting normal daily life distract you and then another week's gone by and you're like, oh, geez, I forgot all about that. So while there are many, many, many elements to the 12 weeks to transformation, those short daily audio messages are a big part of it. Sometimes they are examples of how I coach myself. If I am having a hard moment, how do I work through it myself? And I share those examples. Other times I'm sharing examples of how I'm coaching people in the 12 weeks to transformation. And sometimes it's just something that inspired me to action and I share it with you and encourage you to take action on that idea. So what I would love to do for you sort of as a New Year's gesture, get things started off on the right foot, if you want to get a sneak peek inside and see 5 of those daily messages, have them go to your inbox once a day for 5 days. I've set that up for you, totally free. All you have to do is go to primalpotential.com/daily. primalpotential.com/daily, D-A-I-L-Y. I will also put that link in the show notes for today's episode. So you can either go to primalpotential.com/daily and drop in your email address and you'll get 5 days of those coaching messages if you feel like you want to feel out what it's like before making a decision about the winter 12 weeks to transformation. Or you can go to primalpotential.com/549 and I will link to it there. Our winter group kicks off on January 13th, but registration is closing in, it kind of depends on the rate of enrollment. I don't want to pick a particular day because it's not based on time. It's based on the number of people. We still have some spots left, but I don't know how long it will stay open. And that is not marketing jargon. It's 100% the truth. People that have worked with me before know that I cap it so that I am accessible to everybody in the group, responsive when they reach out, looking for help, looking for coaching, looking for encouragement. So if you want to get 5 of those daily coaching audios, either how I coach myself through hard moments, how I'm coaching my clients through hard moments, or things that have spurred me to action and I share them with you and encourage you to take them and put them into action, just go to primalpotential.com/daily or the show notes page for today's episode. Let's talk about the year end review. My process for looking back on 2018 and going into 2019, not necessarily with a goal of being more productive. Personally, that is not my goal. I'm not looking to get more things done. I'm not looking for achievement in general. I'm looking for more fulfillment. Enjoying each day more instead of getting more done in it, being more present, building more meaningful relationships, feeling as amazing as possible versus losing 10 pounds, right? I have a specific structure, and I use this structure not only at the end of every year, but for at least the last 6 months or so, this is something that I do at the end of every single month. And again, the questions that I ask myself that I share with you today, I'm going to put them in the show notes so you can find that at primalpotential.com/549. The first thing I always start with, well, let me back up. What I used to start with is, what do I want to get out of 2019? What do I want to do? What do I want to achieve? What do I want to accomplish? And more often than not, that was coming from my pain points. For example, I feel like I have too much debt, so I want to get out of debt. I want to save more money. Or I feel like I'm too big, so I want to lose weight. And that used to be how I would think about resolutions. And I sent out an email to the VIP list just yesterday about my perspective. I don't do resolutions. I don't believe in revolution, these big, drastic, dramatic changes. I am more about evolution. And evolution isn't just doing different things, it's doing them better and learning from what went well, learning from what didn't go well, and making small, gradual adjustments that make things better. Not necessarily more things, but getting more out of the things that I have, feeling better versus doing more. So that VIP email is also up on the blog. So you can check out the Primal Potential blog for my take on evolution versus resolution versus revolution. What is the difference? What it means to me? I shared that the other day. But this specific structure is sort of the background work behind the evolutions I am pursuing, the gradual improvements I am embracing today and also into the new year. Instead of starting with what I don't have that I want more of, right? So I want to be thinner or I want to have more money or whatever, I always begin with the good. I always begin by asking myself and writing down on paper, what am I proud of? What went well? What do I want to celebrate? I've noticed in myself a tendency to overlook a lot of big wins because I either focus on what I didn't accomplish, what I didn't achieve, or the small wins get overshadowed by the big wins. So I'll think back and I'll go, oh, well, I finished my book in 2018. And that can distract me from some of the smaller wins, like the fact that I got my CrossFit Level 1 certification, things like that. So I lead off with celebration. What am I proud of? What was good? What was great? What do I feel amazing about? And I do this for every area of life because sometimes we will have a tendency to think about achievement in work or achievement in finances or achievement in health, but then we overlook something like a big win in a relationship, like, oh my gosh, my communication with my boyfriend is so much better. So for every area of your life, financially, personally, in relationships, maybe with your spouse, with your parents, with your children, with your colleagues, in terms of your fitness, all these different aspects of life, what went well? And when you feel stuck, when you, maybe you'll write down 3 or 4 ideas easily and then you just feel like, oh, I can't think of anything else, challenge yourself to sit with it for 2 or 3 more minutes. Never let that first sense of, oh, I can't think of anything, never let that be the point at which you stop. Because if you do that, you just grab the low-hanging fruit stuff. You grab the easy stuff. For me, it was easy to say things like, I got my CrossFit level 1. That was so cool. And I finished my book. That's super, super major. It launches January 10th, by the way. More on that next week. It's easy to say, oh, well, you know, investment properties. That was a big step forward this year. It's easy to say, I spent a lot more time with my sister and different things that we did together that were really fun. Then I got to that pause like, nothing else comes to mind. And then I was like, oh my gosh, how could I forget? This year, 2018, was the first time that I had weekend retreats with my master's club, my Primal Potential Master's Club. And not only did we have one in the spring, we had a second one in the fall. So not only did we make that happen in 2018, we made it happen twice. And that was a huge step forward for us as a community in terms of our connection, in terms of our engagement, our investment in each other. That was so major. I also, at first, overlooked the fact that in 2018, I created a lot more structure with my work. Prior to implementing this structure, every day was sort of a crapshoot. Like, what's urgent? What absolutely needs to get done because it's, you know, needs to go live tomorrow? This year, in 2018, I started batching my work. Mondays are for this type of thing. Tuesdays are for this type of thing. Wednesdays are for this type of thing. And that made a huge difference in my sense of control and sense of being in a good place work-wise. Reduced a lot of the frantic, oh my gosh, crap, it's 8 o'clock and I forgot that I need to have one of the coaching audio messages uploaded before midnight. Things like that. That was major. I also built a really great new friendship with somebody on Cape Cod that was a big priority for me. I moved onto the Cape basically at the very beginning of 2018. My tiny house was delivered at the very end of 2017, but I didn't even have power in it until early 2018. And I didn't really know anybody on the Cape except for my boyfriend. And it was very important to me to put down some roots. And so joining a new gym and connecting with people there and really investing in that community from my heart, not just with my time, because it's easy to show up. And I've done that so many times, like, yeah, I'm here every day. But how many people know me? How many people know me enough to have a conversation beyond like, what'd you do this weekend? How's the weather, etc.? So investing in that community with my heart, and also outside of the gym community, really building a solid friendship, somebody that I can call up and be like, ah, I just need to have a cup of coffee with somebody and talk things through. So that was a really big win for me in 2018. From a fitness standpoint, I set PRs, personal records, in every single one of my lifts. So I absolutely, without question, got stronger. I also got faster. I worked for a good 3 months on running form, and I got faster, without a doubt. I also got smarter. I read a lot in 2018. Within the Master's Club, we have a monthly book club, but I also read a lot on top of those books, and I read some fantastic ones this year that helped me become a better person, a more peaceful person. Oh my gosh, also, transcendental meditation. I totally forgot about that. That wasn't on my initial list here, but I was trained in transcendental meditation in 2018, and that was a game changer, huge win, huge positive change for the year. So you get the point. Don't rush this. Don't just go with the 3 or 4 biggest and most obvious things. Keep asking yourself, what else was great? What else are you proud of? What else happened that was good or an improvement for you in all of these aspects of your life? Consider your finances, consider your career, consider your mindset, your health, your relationships, all of that kind of stuff. And this is not the time to focus on what didn't go well. Maybe you'd say, you'd have a tendency to be like, well, yeah, I went to the gym more regularly, but I didn't lose any weight. Nope. Not the time for that. There's absolutely a time for Where do I feel like I missed an opportunity, but not at first? Stay focused. Train your brain. Notice that tendency to go to what is wrong or what is not optimal, and stay exclusively with what went well, what are you proud of, what were your wins? And keep asking yourself, what else? What about this area? What am I not thinking of? It might be helpful to go back through your calendar as you do this and just skim through the months, because maybe you had a really incredible weekend away in February that you totally forgot about. Or maybe you got a new client account and you completely forgot about that meeting because a million things have happened since then. But challenge yourself to think bigger. And guys, this isn't just about celebrating yourself and patting yourself on the back, though I think there's a lot of merit to that. One of the most important practices in this is training your brain to not stop at the most obvious answers. We do this all the time when we give in to excuses. We have this standard pattern of thought and then we're like, yeah, that's it. But when we train ourselves to say, what else is there? What else is true? What have I not considered? That benefits us in every single area of our lives. So do not rush this. When you feel like there's nothing else, there is something more. And build that pattern. Build that practice of saying, what else is there? Let me think more. When you think you're done, come up with five more. And after you come up with five more and you think you're done, come up with two more. Push yourself to keep going. That is just as important for brain training as it is for a general appreciation of what went well. The next thing that I ask myself is, what do I want from my life that I don't yet have? The key here is specificity. What do I want from my life that I don't yet have? If your first thought is something like health, that is way too vague. What is it about health that you want that you don't yet have? If it is as specific as, I just tripped all over my tongue there. It happens, real life. You can get as specific as, I want to be able to take the stairs at work and not be winded at the top, right? That is something that I want that I don't yet have. If you think like financial security, that is nearly way too vague. That is so vague that it's not really going to have an impact on your actions, on your subconscious, on your heart, on your ability to create an action plan moving forward. So if you feel like what you don't yet have that you want in your life is financial security, well, what would it look like? What would the specific circumstances of your finances need to be for you to feel like you had financial security? Is that related to paying down a specific amount of debt? How much? From where? Is it related to having a specific amount in your savings account? How much? How much? Is it related to earning a specific amount? How much? How much per month? How much per week? Is that before taxes? Is that after taxes? Get really, really specific. The question again is, what do I want from my life that I don't yet have? And just like we were talking about with the wins, what went well, what you're proud of, you want to look at every area of your life. The way that I break this down is I ask myself, financially, what do I want for my finances that I don't yet have? What do I want for my business that I don't yet have? What do I want for my relationships that I don't yet have? And even in this, of course, there are subcategories, right? Because my answer for my romantic relationship is super, super important, but my friendships are super important as well. So I want to treat those things separately. What do I want for my health that I don't yet have? What do I want for my body or my mindset, my attitude, my home, my relationship with my children? What do I want that I don't yet have? Don't rush this, guys. I tell my clients this all the time, but you know, when you cut corners, you're only cheating yourself, and you will get out of it what you put into it. So if you don't put very much into it, you're not going to get very much out of it. But the great news is, if you put time and effort into this, Maybe you go to the library for an hour to work on this, or you take yourself to a coffee shop, or you do it with a friend and you decide to meet up. I'm actually doing this later this afternoon. I reached out to one of my girlfriends and I said, hey, would you be open to talking about 2019 strategic planning with me? And I'm going to go through this with her later today. And for specific to my business and my financial plan, I'm doing it with my best friend over the phone next week. But you've got to put some time into it ahead of time. Otherwise, you'll just sort of be staring at each other being like, oh, I don't know. I guess I need to think about that. If you put a lot into it, you're going to get a lot out of it, and you deserve that. So you want to look at what do you want from your life that you don't yet have and be specific. The next question that I ask myself is, what do I want to let go of that is no longer serving me? And as we talked about with the things that were going well, when you think you've come up with the ideas that you have, challenge yourself to do 5 more. You don't necessarily have to take action on everything that you write down, but we are, as much as anything, training our brains to think differently, to think more broadly, to go deeper than we normally go, and to come up with ideas that we might have had a tendency to stop short of. So maybe your first thought is, when you ask yourself that question, what do I want to let go of that's no longer serving me? Maybe you think cable TV. Great, write it down. Doesn't mean you need to cut cable, but at least it gives you something to think about as we go through this. But then look at the other areas of your life. So with your mindset, what's some anger, some resentment, some negativity, or some fear, some shame, some regret that you want to let go of because it's no longer serving you? Maybe it's a pattern of behavior, maybe complaining or gossiping. Maybe it's alcohol. What do you want to let go of that is no longer serving you? Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's there's a relationship in your life that only stresses you out and brings you down. Maybe it's a job that you hate, but you just haven't put effort forth into getting a new one. What do you want to let go of that is no longer serving you? And when you feel stumped, say 5 more. 5 more things. You're not making a commitment to cut this out. You're just coming up with things to consider. Maybe one of them is going to be the thing you tackle. Maybe 2. Maybe one leads you to something that you had never thought of, and that's the thing. Another way to think about this, if that question is tough for you, and don't let yourself off the hook. I don't want you to think about it for 2 seconds and be like, I don't know. I don't know often means I haven't done the work to figure it out. Almost without exception, when my clients tell me I don't know, I say, I don't believe you, try again. And within 30 seconds, usually less than 5, they've given me an answer. I don't know is often a cop out. But another way to consider this is, what is holding you back? What is holding you back in your relationships? What is holding you back with your eating habits? What is holding you back in your finances? What is holding you back in terms of the way you care for your home? A big one for me that you've heard me talk about a lot lately, and my master's club has probably heard me talk about it most. We talked a lot about this when we were away together in Austin. Fear. I have become very aware, intentionally, of the ways that fear has held me back. Specifically, like scarcity. Fear of lack, fear of not having enough. I grew up, my mom was a teacher, a music teacher. And because she worked in the school system, they had an option where they could take their salary over 12 months or over 9 months, meaning they got paid a little more for 9 months, but then they didn't take a paycheck over the summer. And I remember, I mean, we weren't poor, but we were definitely middle class. And I remember that we wouldn't go shopping for school supplies before going back to school. We would always wait a week or two into the school year until my mom got paid again, because she took her paycheck over 9 months, so she hadn't gotten a paycheck all summer. And we would do our back to school shopping 2 or so weeks into the school year. And it was always a conversation. you'd go into the grocery store and all the back to school stuff would be out. And in August, my sister and I would be like, Mom, we need backpacks. We need pencils. We need this. And she would say, yep, we will get it. You know, I haven't gotten a paycheck this summer. So we'll do our back to school shopping, you know, after school starts and I get my paycheck. And it was never stressful. We always had everything that we needed, but I learned to save money. Because I had this sense that if you don't save money and you don't have money, and the way that, because it went unchecked growing up for me and as a young adult and getting out of debt and that experience influencing the way that I think about money, I have developed this scarcity mindset with money that somehow there's not going to be enough and I'm going to run out and what's going to happen and am I going to have to, you know, stop with Primal Potential and go back and work for somebody else. And that fear limits a lot of my actions, my choices. And so that fear does not serve me. I trust my ability to build a healthy, successful business and to pay attention and respond to any warning signs as they arise. And so I have to let go of that fear-based thinking. I saw a post the other day from Jill Coleman. Jill Coleman is a fitness personality who does a lot of mindset work. And one of the things that she shared, she had gone through a tough divorce and a move across the country. And she shared that 2018 was the first year in a long time that wasn't a bad year, that wasn't a hard year, where she found joy and trust and freedom and certainty again. And one of the things that she wrote that really struck a chord with me is that a free woman is one who's no longer afraid of pain. A free woman is one who's no longer afraid of pain. And of course, you can insert man, child, whatever you want to refer to that as. And it struck me because it's not pain that I have feared, though I've been through a lot of it. It's loss. Loss of relationships, loss of respect, loss of money, loss of integrity. And when I read that, I immediately wrote it down. To me, the way that I rewrote it is a free woman is one who's no longer afraid of loss. And that doesn't mean I don't care. I care very much. But oftentimes the thing we fear, the fear itself hurts more than the actual loss. I will lose people. I will lose relationships. I will lose loved ones. I will lose money. I will lose customers. I will lose deals. People will lose respect for me, whatever it is. But I don't have to fear that. I made myself a note just the other day. I'm always thinking about if I were to get another tattoo, what would it be? And I told my sister just earlier this week that what's speaking to me right now is very simply the greater than symbol. You know, the little carrot from back in seventh grade math, greater than. And the idea that a free woman is one who's no longer afraid of loss brought me back to this thing that inspires me of greater than. I am greater than whatever professional obstacles come my way. I am greater than the things that I fear because I have confidence in my ability to overcome challenges, to overcome loss, to recreate myself, to start new chapters of my life. I am greater than my past. I am greater than my excuses. I am greater than my limitations. I am greater than the stories that I've told myself. I, through my network, through my heart, through my intellect, through my commitment to solve problems, I am greater than whatever comes my way. And because I believe that, I am greater than my fears. So that was my response to what can I let go of that is no longer serving me? And it's my fear. The next question that I ask myself is, what do I want to let go of to make room for something new or better? And as with the categories before, I'm looking at this in every area of my life. So, you know, when you think about your family, maybe the first answer is cable TV or wasting my night away on Instagram or Pinterest or Facebook. What do I want to let go of to make room for something better? I would love to do more fun things with my boyfriend. So, what do we need to let go of to make room for that? And maybe it's we need to let go of going out to eat three nights during the week so that once a month we can take that money and put it towards a weekend away or something like that, right? Maybe for your family, you let go of TV during the weeknight so that you can talk more or go for walks or go to a trampoline park or play Scrabble. Maybe you need to let go of alcohol to make room for mental clarity. Maybe you need to let go of gossip to make room for genuine friendship. Maybe you need to let go of fast food so that you can make room for more energy and vitality. Maybe you need to let go of your excuses about fear of going to the gym so you can make room for a stronger, healthier you and all of those relationships that are waiting for you with the amazing people at the gym. This next question is one of my favorites. What is most important to me? And what does it look like to act like it every day? What is most important to me? And what does it look like to act like it every day? And I convicted myself big time on this one. Because what is absolutely true for me is that the most important thing to me is relationship. Having incredibly strong, deep, meaningful relationships in my life. Do I act like that is the most important thing to me every day? Nope, I don't. In fact, if you were to audit my days, what you would see looking in is that the most important thing to me is my work and my clients. And don't get me wrong, I love my work and I love my clients, but it's not the most important thing to me. So what does it look like to act like that every day? And how am I going to stay mindful of that every day? What is the most important thing to you? And what does it look like to act like it every day? One of my big pushes over the next, well, starting today, every day for the rest of my life, is process improvement instead of outcome attachment. So going back to the fact that the most important thing to me is relationships, I'm not attached to, I want, you know, a deeper group of friends. Okay, that's the outcome, but attaching to that outcome is not what drives change. Being committed to the process of creating that and being committed to process improvement, doing it better, is where change comes from. The same thing is true in the gym, right? It's not just in relationships. The same thing is true in business. It's not just relationships. I am moving away from how I operated most of my life, which was outcome attachment. I want to have this much money in savings. I want to make this much money. I want to weigh this much or lose this much weight. That's not how change happens. Change comes from the process. And not just a commitment to the process, but a commitment to process improvement. Not how can I be more, but how can I do better? So, how can you shift from outcome attachment to process commitment and process improvement? Then I ask myself, because we've been going along this, you know, what went well? What do I want more of? What's most important to me, etc.? This next one is the one that always gets me. And it gets me because I find it the most difficult, but I also, once I push through that difficult part and I do it anyway, I find it super exciting. And that question is, how can I think bigger? What does it look like to think bigger? If I wasn't playing it safe or being realistic or trying to temper my expectations, what would I want? What would I go after? If everything was possible, what would my goals look like? What would my objectives be? If I wasn't playing it safe, what would that look like? Think bigger, more, bigger, bolder, better. And then, do I want that? How am I going to go after it? And what needs to change for me in order to pursue that daily? What needs to change for me? And more often than not, the answer is going to be your mindset, the doubts, the way we talk ourselves out of big, audacious things. What needs to change for you to get excited about going after that every single day? The next question I ask myself is, how can I make it more fun, more joyful? Or how can I, in the process of doing these things that I've gotten excited about in this writing, how can I build relationships through this? Like, who can I bring along with me? Who can I team up with? Who can I use as maybe an accountability partner or somebody to walk with me through this or do this with me or help me in some way? How can I, in the achievement of these things, build a relationship? Maybe it's as simple as, if you want to get stronger, talking to that trainer at that gym or the owner at that gym and saying, hey, this is what I want. Can you help me? And what does that look like? Not just can you help me, because that's super vague and ambiguous and hard to act on, but can you help me put a plan together? Can we meet on the first of every month for just a 10-minute update on how it's going? Or to your friend, do you want to do this with me? Maybe to a colleague, hey, let's take this on together. Maybe to your spouse or your sibling or your friend, what's something that you're working on? Did you go through this process? What are you excited about? Maybe once a month we meet up for coffee and we go back through this whole process together, or we bring our answers because we've done it on our own time. How can I make this more fun? Or how can I build relationships through this? I told you guys that, you know, I reached out to my friend and I said, hey, I don't know if you're into like strategic planning or anything like that, but she's a small business owner. Do you want to sit and talk about our 2019 strategic plans? And initially she was like, well, I mean, my business isn't where yours is. And I was like, it's not comparative. We do totally different things and we're on totally different paths, but having somebody to say, this is what I want to do, and then a month later, hey, how's it going? A week later, is there something I can do to support you? Did you do that thing, make that phone call, reach out to that person that you said you were going to? One thing for me in terms of making my fitness goals more enjoyable was getting my boyfriend to the CrossFit gym with me, and that makes it so much more fun. It's not about making it more effective or more productive, but how can I infuse more joy, more fun, more playfulness into this? How can I enjoy the process more? And because relationships are really my big thing, how can I build relationships through this? Then I think there's absolute merit and importance in saying, where did I let myself down? Where did I drop the ball? Where did I break a promise that I made? Where did I not meet my own expectations? And the key here is to use this as an opportunity of being objective, holding yourself accountable, but without the drama, right? Without the guilt, without any shame. I can say right now that I absolutely did not do for my business the things that I wanted to do in 2018. And I'm not upset about it. I did a lot of wonderful things and I didn't meet my own expectations. Nutritionally, I did not meet my own expectations. And I'm not upset about it. I'm just eager to move forward more intelligently with that awareness, right? I have decided, based on going through, you know, what didn't go so well, what do I not feel so good about? I don't want to put excellence or productivity ahead of thoroughness of being. And what I mean by that is, in order for me to become the version of myself that I want to be, I can't continue to put productivity ahead of being the person I want to be. I cannot put my to-do list and my tasks and staying busy ahead of being the person I want to be. At the end of my life, it's not going to be about how much money I saved. It's not going to be about how productive I was. It's going to be about the things I did with the people I loved. how much laughter there was in my life. And I have shared with you guys before that too many years of my life have been focused on my weight and my food choices. And that wasn't a happy way of being. It wasn't connected. It wasn't joyful. I wasn't being the best version of me. And there was a lot of unhappiness and a lot of missing out. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't care about my body or my health, because I'm not happy when I'm not taking great care of myself. So I have to attach to process improvement in taking great care of myself consistently without the outcome attachment. That's where the shift is for me. It's not that I need to be more concerned with an outcome. And it's not that I don't need to be concerned at all with my health. What it is the commitment to process improvement, asking myself regularly how I can make it more joyful, how I can enjoy the process more, and how I can build relationships in the process. Eating well and moving well for me at this time in my life is not about the size of my jeans. It's about the extent of my joy. And I'm still figuring out what that looks like for me, and I'm okay with that. Anytime you feel like you need to have all the answers or you should have all the answers, I think you're just missing the point. You're never going to have all the answers. And I've found that the more you grow and the more you evolve and the more you pay attention, the more you realize that you're never going to figure it out. And that's fine, but it's that process improvement. So for me, my commitment to myself as it relates to my health and really my life in general is process improvement instead of outcome attachment. So on a daily basis, like what this looks like sort of practically and tangibly for me personally, I am seeking daily improvement in my process of things like getting enough sleep, eating in a way that most days reflects non-starchy veggies, healthy fats, and clean proteins. Moving every single day and challenging my body most days, right? So moving every day and most of those days in a way that really challenges me physically. Meditating, drinking more water than coffee, taking my time, refusing to rush, investing in relationships every day, and enjoying the process. And then at the end of every day, I can easily reflect on these things. Did I commit to this process today? And where is there opportunity for improvement? I am committed to that process. I am committed to paying attention every day to that process. And I am committed to evaluating that process. How's it going? Not attached to the outcomes it produces. Because for me, for Elizabeth, this is not about what you want and how you're going to get it. I am here for fulfillment, not achievement. And I want to live in a way that makes me feel my best. And that includes a lot of different things. But the most important thing for me is the relationships in my life. This year, I want to laugh more. I want to travel more. I want to put that thoroughness of being ahead of productivity. By slowing down, by being more present, by doing what I love and what excites me and phasing out things that I don't love, by making the rules instead of trying to follow them. Now, for my business, I do go into more detail, and this is different because I am a business owner, though I imagine this is super applicable even if you work in a more conventional way. But for my business, I look and I go, what are my present streams of income? What are all the different pieces that bring revenue in? What provides the most revenue? What takes the most time? What takes the least time? What do I enjoy the most? What seems to be having the biggest impact? Which is different from another question, which is, what seems to have the greatest reach? Based on that, what needs to change here? What am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What am I not doing that I should be doing? From a business perspective, what would be a dream come true, and what steps am I taking to make that happen? I ask myself over the next 90 days, what are my top two business priorities? Then those go into my daily journal. every single day. If these are my top two business priorities over the next 90 days, I write down each of them and what I am doing to move forward. I tell other people about them. And I ask them for what I need in support, whether that is ask me about it once a week or help me by making this phone call or this introduction or whatever it is. I get really specific on those things and I am carrying them through my journaling every single day. Now, once you have gone through this process, here is what I consider to be the most important part. I wrote it all out in a document and then I attach the document to my calendar. I use Gmail calendar and you can open up a new appointment and put an attachment in there. I attach it, that document, into my calendar as an appointment on the last day of every single month. You could also email it to yourself and schedule it out to be emailed to you every single month. If you have Gmail, they have like little Gmail schedulers, or you can use a software like IFTTT. IFTTT, it stands for if this, then that. Google it. And you can have it texted to you on the last day of every month or the first day of every month. If you have a paper calendar, print out a bunch of copies and put it in there. Put one in your purse. Put it on the dash of your car. Read it while you're waiting in line at the grocery store or the doctor's office. Save it in your phone. But the point is, you have to return to it. Too often, the problem with a lot of New Year's resolutions is that their intentions and their wishes, and then they fade from our mind because a million other things are going on. And so this becomes an appointment for me. This becomes something that I revisit, I take time with, I block out 2 to 4 hours on the last day of every month to go back through this. You can do it with a friend, you can do it with a coworker, with a spouse, you can do it on your own. But the key is, this is not a one and done kind of deal. This is a journey. This is evolution. And so for me, that looks like I've blocked out time on the last day of every month. You can do it on the last work day of every month, however you want to do it. It's in there as a calendar appointment. I tend to go to a coffee shop or to the library so that I don't have the distractions. And I go back through and I make updates and I make changes and I say, oh, geez, I totally forgot about this one. And in that case, it's going to be something I journal about every single day, 7 days a week. Hey, this is the goal. What am I doing? How am I taking steps? How can I improve the process and move away from being attached to the outcome? These questions are going to be over at the show notes, on the show notes at primalpotential.com/549. I want to remind you guys of what I shared at the very beginning. You can go to primalpotential.com/daily, D-A-I-L-Y, primalpotential.com/daily. If you want to get 5 days of those coaching audios that I share with my 12 Weeks to Transformation clients, the next winter coaching group working with me for 12 weeks, not to learn about creating change, but to actively get in the game and start doing it, starts on January 13th, but registration does close soon. So you can check out the link to register on the show notes page. Everything you need is going to be over there, primalpotential.com/549 to sign up for those daily audio emails, 5 days of sample stuff for you, or to register for the 12 Weeks to Transformation, or just to see the questions that we talked about in today's episode. Related episodes. If you're like, oh my gosh, this is so timely as we go into the new year, I'm also going to link in the show notes to year-end episodes I've done before or goal-setting episodes that I've done before. Episode 344, episode 293, episode 119, all of those are related to setting goals, achieving goals, taking action on them, and I will link to them over on the show notes, primalpotential.com/549, and we'll wrap up with a meal I loved recently and a workout I loved recently. The meal, I went out to a late lunch with my sister in downtown Boston, and one thing I really enjoy doing is ordering off the appetizer menu, especially when all of the entrees look really heavy or really big or even just really expensive. So they had a duo of tartars. They had a tuna tartare and a salmon tartare on the appetizer menu. Generally speaking, you can get some great options, whether it's like something like chicken satay or shrimp cocktail, or in this case, tartare. And you spend less and the portion is smaller. So that is a strategy that I often use. The workout that I loved was a doozy, but it was so good. The format was 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 of wall balls, double unders, and sit-ups. Of course, you can do singles instead of double unders. But what that looks like is 50 wall balls, 50 double unders, 50 sit-ups, and then 40 wall balls, 40 double unders, 40 sit-ups, and then 30, 30, 30, 20, 20, 20, 10, 10, 10, 4 time going as fast as you can. Those wall balls, man, they got me good, but it was a great workout and I felt amazing afterwards. So happy new year to you. Thank you so much for your love, for your support this year. I am really excited about all that is to come in 2019, and I hope you will take the time to work through these questions and make 2019 amazing. Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word Primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word Primal to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.